Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Come on, I think you can do better than that. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. As my brother already alluded to, I'm talking about the one that gave his life for you and I, that we might have it more abundantly. Amen. Are you so glad for freedom? Freedom not only for this country, but freedom that we have in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I know Apostle's away, but I want to thank him for the opportunity to be able to come and preach this morning. And as I begin to study and begin to pursue God on what he would have me to speak to you this morning, this is what he gave me. It's going to kind of sound kind of weird at first, but just bear with me. I'm going to go somewhere this morning. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses. I'm going to start reading in verse 8 through 10, and then we're going to flip over to the third chapter. It said, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, and he looketh forth at the windows, suing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away." Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him and I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. And in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I says, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, and I found him whom my soul loveth, and held him, and would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that conceived me." Father, we thank you for your word that's already anointing. But Father, I need you today. I thank you for the privilege to be in your house, because it's an honor, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you placed this word on my heart and helped me to convey it to your people the way you want it to conveyed. We thank you in advance for what's going to take place this house, this day, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. High five your neighbors, say, get ready. Did anybody come ready and looking for something this morning? I came looking and expecting God to show up, and he's already showed up. After all, this is God's house, amen? I said, this is God's house. But today I want to preach to you on a subject, pursuit or pursued. There's a difference. And as we look in the Psalm of Solomon, it's probably one of the best books of the Bible that you and I can read about intimacy. How many of you know God wants intimacy? He wants you to be intimate with him. And as you get more intimate with him, then you can be intimate with others. And as we was reading that, did you hear how many times he said, "My beloved, to whom I love"? The love just kept ringing out, love, love. For God is love, amen? But one thing about intimacy, it's delivered in difficulty. I'll say that again. Intimacy is delivered in difficulty. You know, we don't want to go through difficult times, do we? Y'all, three of y'all, I'll preach over this. So we don't want to go through no hard places. We don't want to have adversity. We don't want to have trials. But I'm sorry, if you're in the kingdom, you're going to have it. Because we're in the world, but we're not of this world. Amen? But even before I begin to preach to you this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you in pursuit of Jesus, or are you pursued by him? What are you talking about? Well, pursuit means this. It's an effort to secure or obtain. Pursuit means to follow in order to overtake, capture, or chase. How many of us make efforts to secure Jesus or have overtaken or chasing after him? You know, sure we do. We do it every Sunday we come in the door. But I want to take it a little further this morning. I've come to encourage you, but I've also come to challenge you this morning. And you say, why you want to do that? Well, because I'm working for somebody. And I had to do what he's telling me to do. Amen? See, sure, we when everything aren't going well, I mean, do we still pursue or we're in pursuit of him? You know, when sickness hits your house, when you're laid off, when you can't pay your bills, when the kids are running crazy, when they fall down, break their leg, break an arm, when everything's just chaos, are you still in pursuit? Are you pursued? What about when the rest of the week? How many of you know you need to serve God on every day that ends in Y? Oh, this is going to be lovely today. What about when nobody else is around? To have the intimacy with him, have that relationship with him, that you can love on him, and guess what? That he'll love on you. I don't know about it if you felt him this morning, but I felt him come out and just love on me this morning. I'm going to preach this anyhow, because see, I fought hell all week to get here. Because the enemy don't want you to begin to preach even the engrafted word, but much less when you begin to encourage people. Because he wants you downtrodden. And David said, oh my soul, why are you downtrodden? Why are you discouraged? Look up to the hills, for whence cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord. I'm looking to him this morning. He is the author, the finisher of my faith. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's everything you need this morning. Oh, hallelujah. What about when you're at the doctor's office or the dentist, when you're at the ball games? Are you still pursuing him? Are you in pursuit? Are you pursued? You fill in the blank. But he said, the voice of my beloved beholder, he cometh, leafeth on the mount. He cometh. And he said, like a roe, he cometh. And he's standing behind the wall. He's looking forth at the windows. I'm going somewhere. Bear with me. But can I tell you something this morning? He's come. He said in John 15, 16 through 19, he said, you haven't chosen me. How many of you ever thought that you choose Jesus? Well, just come to the altar, kneel and pray, and you can find Jesus. Oh, help me, Jesus. No, see, you don't choose him. He chooses you. But before the foundations of the world, you were framed. You were marked. God had a call on every one of our lives today. You might not stand behind a pulpit, but guess what? You can still do other things. What an awesome job these young folks did this morning. Amen. Praising how they letting God just use them. Amen. But guess what? These young folks, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. But see, every one of us have God has chosen us. He has chosen you. He has ordained you that you may go forth and bring forth fruit. That your fruit shall remain there. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. He said, these things have I command you, that you love one another. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's why you're going to have adversity in your life. Because there is still a devil loose. He's not bound yet, according to Revelation, but he will be. Amen? But there is a devil loose. But I want to tell you something. God chose you. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. But because your mom and daddy came together does not mean you were in an accident. But because the world, oh, hallelujah. See, God thought about you way, way, way beyond time. And he knew we were sitting right here in Southland on this Sunday morning. He knew that you could have went a lot of places. And I thank you for those that are here today. You could have laid out. Maybe some did. I don't know. But bless them anyway, Lord. But I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than anywhere else that I can go. Because, see, I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried things to the left and things on my right. And all of it just fell apart. But let me tell you something. If you would just try Jesus this morning, give him, like David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know where I'm going, but hallelujah. Can you tell that this morning? I'm going to catch that rabbit here in a few minutes. Yeah, you had to overlook me. I've been in part of a revival service this week, and it just kind of lit my wood again. Anybody remember Dr. Tim Hines who came? Well, he was in revival, and I went and was with him. Woo, it was awesome. But let me tell you something. There's no difference even today. Why? Because we're in the Father's house. I can't get that out of my... You need to realize whatever you need today has already been paid, and it's already for you. All you got to do is receive it by faith. Amen? And if it's salvation, just believe on him. If it's healing, just declare the word, I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't know what's going on in my body. You don't know what's happening. You don't know how I feel. No, you don't know how I feel this morning. Well, guess what? I'm in the house of the Lord anyhow, because I'm still waiting on my miracle. I'm still waiting on my blessing. I come to be a blessing. Amen. If you want to get a blessing, you got to be a blessing. Oh, help me. You see, the old church used to say, I found the Lord. How many of you ever heard that? No. God is never lost and never will be. He's always found. Well, how many of you have ever lost something? All three of you, thank you. You lost your keys, your wallet? My wife, she loves to lose her cell phone. But it's all good. I mean, how many of you ever lost something? Maybe you lost your phone charger. For you women, maybe you lost your lipstick. You know, as I said, women, not men. I'll leave that alone. What about your comb, your blush, your eyeliner? Man, maybe you lost your kids somewhere. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you lost something. But how did you feel when you found it? I don't know about you, I'm 47. Sometimes I lay things down and I forget where I put them. I know none of y'all don't have that problem. But see, I want to tell you something. Just as I read in Solomon, the Song of Solomon, Jesus is coming to where you are. He's in pursuit of you. As I read, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He's in pursuit of you. He's coming in pursuit of you even in the state that you're in. Even you may be in a crazy state, but he's still in pursuit of you. Maybe you might be in an angry state, but he's still in pursuit of you. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're in depression. Maybe oppression. Maybe you've just been aggravated. Anybody ever got aggravated? Anybody ever got angry? Oh, maybe you got hurt, but still, I want to tell you something. Maybe there's hate in your heart this morning. Maybe there's just something that just ticked you off. Maybe you got high this morning. Maybe things just didn't go your way. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is in pursuit of you this morning. He's coming for you. What are you doing? He's trying to catch you. Romans 6:17-18. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Is anybody righteous in the house? For those of you who didn't respond or raise your hand, if you're born again, you're righteous. According to the engrafted word of God. He said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore and deliver there with Christ and made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. See, and to be honest with you, how I came up with this, how God began to stirring my spirit about pursuit or pursued. Because see, every morning, every evening when I used to come home from work, my three-year-old son, Jeremiah, he usually would meet me at the door, he'd hug my neck, and then he want to play this game. This game is called Peekaboo, I See You. That's his title. But it's no more than a game called Chase. Bear with me, I'm going. So I know this is very simple, but I want you to hear me this morning. And then we would start, I was okay, I put stuff down, and I just start moving around. And he's hot on my trail. I go in circles. I go around the kitchen table, and all of a sudden I pick up pace, and he's right behind me. I take off running, and he's right behind me. I go left. I go right. He's right behind me. I keep moving. I keep running, and all of a sudden I keep running, and all of a sudden I stop, and I grab him. And I begin to love on him. I begin to embrace him. Can I tell you something this morning? That's what did I do? See, he was in pursuit of me. But I turned around and pursued him. And then what would happen? Then he'll start running and I start chasing him. Can I tell you something this morning? That's how it is with Jesus. He comes running after you. He's in pursuit of you. He's running to you even in the midst of all your chaos, all your trouble, all your pain, all your desire. He comes running to you. He comes running. He comes running. And he won't quit even though you say, I'm not ready now. And you keep going. You go left. You go right. And you keep going. But guess what? He's still hot on your trail. Why? Because somebody is standing in the gap. Somebody is calling your name out. Somebody is calling on Jesus. Somebody is standing up saying, oh, don't let him go yet, Lord. Don't let him go yet. Keep running after him. Don't stop, Lord, until you catch them. Woo! I'm about ready to take me a lap. My God, hallelujah. He's come running this morning. He's after somebody. I don't know who you are, but I want to tell you, it don't matter what mama, daddy, grandparent, anybody else said to you. It don't matter if you've been lied to even on the way to church this morning. I want to tell you, Jesus is in pursuit of you. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's in pursuit of you this morning. He's in pursuit of you. And when you catch him, excuse me, when he catches you, just turn around, embrace him. And better yet, let him embrace you. Stand up, Pastor Martin, if you don't mind, please. That's a big old man right there. Look at the big old arm. I won't want to fight him. Anybody want to? No. You don't have to fight him. Why? Because this man is full of the love of God. That's one thing about Pastor Martin. Every time I see him, he embraces you. Why? Because he wants to share the love of Jesus. And that's what the kingdom is all about. Amen? Thank you, brother. Pursuing him. Are you pursued? See, Jesus will chase you through all your obstacles of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. See, you see me now, but you didn't see me some 20-some years ago. But Jesus did. And one night when I was on my couch, he came and paid this old boy a visit. He said, I got a work for you to do. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anybody remember the day? Stand up, come to the altar. We need to pray now. If you don't remember the day when all your burdens were rolled away, If you don't remember the day that peace that surpasses all understanding flooded your soul, do you remember the day when your eyes were open, it felt like scales fell off and you began to see like you never seen before. That's why when you have the love of God in your heart, that's why when you pursue him and you pursue him, and then you turn around and you pursue him and you chase him after him, that's why you begin to love people regardless of where they are, regardless of where they've been, regardless of how they smell, regardless of how they dress. You love them not for what they outer, but you love them for the inner man that's on the inside. But are you in pursuit? I got to hurry. Or are you pursued? See, when you receive this salvation, because we believed upon him, amen? See, first of all, God will chase you to that point. To that point that you say, I surrender. I surrender all. Amen. And then after that, the role is changed. Then you have to chase after him. Now, some folks don't want to do that. And that's fine. No problem. If that's your desire. If you just want to make sure you got fire insurance, then that's fine. But I think there's some folks in Saffron that's been pursuing his presence. You're pursuing his presence. Why? Because you don't want the mundane. You don't want the status quo. But can I tell you tonight, by the Spirit of God, I believe with all my heart that there's coming a day the church won't be the same as usual, because the presence and the power of God, the manifestation, is going to blanket his church, and things are going to begin to shake. Things are going to begin to fall off. Chains are going to be broken. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you see, you won't even have to lay hands on nobody. See, God wants to get man out of the way. But so many times, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. So many times, even when I was pastor, they come, oh, pastor, pray for me, pray, 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 pray. They want you to lay hands. And I know what the Bible says about laying on hands and all this kind of stuff. But I want to tell you something this morning. Too many times people start looking to one man. And God said, let's get man out the way. And I want you to begin to look up. Look to me. Because where does your help come? Your help. See, friends will come and friends will go. Anybody ever had somebody to leave you? Get mad and upset with you? Maybe they took something and just screwed it and it went the wrong direction. We all had it. What do? You lay it all down. Because offenses will come. I don't know. Help me, Holy Ghost. Offenses will come. But I want to tell you, I'm looking for that day that we see the blinded eyes open, that we put the funeral homes out of business, we start raising people from the dead, that we be... See, I done freaked some of you. I don't know about all that, preacher. But see, I'm sorry, but is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything... Nothing. Cancer has no place when it comes to God. Disease has no place when it comes to God. Well, preacher, you just don't know how long I've been in battle. You're right. I may not know. But let me tell you something. Don't give up. Don't quit. The word of God is truth. Amen. And hallelujah. That's why you got to rest in God. You got to rely entirely on spirit and truth. Rest. Rest. Some of you have been warring too long. You need to rest. Let that get in your spirit. Even, you know, sometimes it's even like a police officer when they're in pursuit of criminals. Maybe they robbed a bank or whatever. They might not get them the first day, the first week, but sooner or later they will get them and they will apprehend them. And can I tell you something? When you got people, I believe the word of God is true. How many of you believe it's true? How many of you believe it?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you believe in God, you believe His truth, and His Word is true. Why? Because Him and His Word is the same. I want to tell you something. That's why when we stand on the Word, we stand on the rock, we stand on Him, and we'll see the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost like we never seen before. I'm looking for a day when we come and we forget about what's going on. I'm looking for a day when God just wipes out the band and says, look, boys, it ain't time to play today. It's just kind of worship. Can you worship God when there is no music? Can you worship God when you're all up by yourself? Can you worship God when you have to bury somebody that's close to your heart? Can you worship Him anyway? Can you pursue Him anyway? Will you chase Him anyway? See, God loves it when you chase Him. Because see, when you chase Him and you get captured with His love, with His forgiveness, with His grace, because He is grace. He is goodness. He's everything you need Him to be. Solomon said He's a rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. What is He to you this morning? I don't know about you. See, some folks, they just want to be in pursuit of God. They just want to cross that line, know they got everything okay, and that's fine. But I'm like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to pursue Him. I'm in pursuing His presence, His manifestation of His power. I'm in pursuit of Him, not for what I can get, but for Him. But after you pursue, and you're pursuing, and you're chasing, and you're running after Him, when it goes left, He said, go left. When you go right, you go right. When He stops, you almost run slam over Him. Why? Because you're running after Him. Sometimes you don't know which direction He goes. You just got to hear that still, small voice. Sometimes He'll tell you to do something. Hey, go over there and pray for sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Go over there and do this. But see, it ain't about doing when it comes to God. It's about becoming. That's what a lot of people miss. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to quit this. No, honey. Just come like you are. Like Pastor says, tater head. No. Why? Because He loves us. He gave it all for every one of us. Everything. He died on the cross. And see, when you come through that place in Him, change will happen. When you go from being in pursuit to pursuing, change will happen. You begin to Things begin to fall off of you. You won't start talking like you used to talk. Hello? Hallelujah. Then you start being sensitive to His presence. And you want to do what He says do. Why? Because you love Him. And you know God. The pastor already told you, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sat down. Why? So you and I could stand up. We stand up under our adversity, every trial of life. You can stand up no matter how bad the wind's blowing. Like the palm tree. For years you don't see nothing happen. But in a 5-year span, overnight, within a year span, it grows to leaps and bounds. Why? Because it stood on a firm down. It's on a solid foundation, just like you and I. See, Jonah, he got pursued. You know, go to Nineveh. No, I ain't going there. I'm paraphrasing. I ain't going there, Lord. I don't like them folks. I ain't not doing that. I ain't going to Southland. I don't like them folks. They got their mixed breed over there. I ain't going. Come on, somebody. Don't act like I'm the only one in the room. Come on. But see, you got to be careful. Because then you're in being pursued by God. And you know the story. As Paul Harvest and the rest of the story. He went to Nineveh. Hezekiah, he got pursued. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah, said, go tell him, put his house in order. Because this day you shall surely die. No, he wasn't shouting on that. No. He said, oh, no. He turned his back to the wall. See, when you get put in a position, when things happen all around you, I'm not telling you God does it, but things happen in your life that will cause you to go one way or the other. Too many other people went the other way. Why? Because they got the wrong idea about our Father. And they don't know the love that he had, the compassion that he had. They don't know the forgiveness and the grace that he had. They don't know all this. That's why you and I have to tell. But here's a guy put his plate to the wall and began to pray. And before Isaiah got out of the court, the word of the Lord came to him. Said, go back. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a God that would cause things to change in our life. How many of you need change in your life? That's what I thought, all 10 of you. Nobody else, not me, I'm good. You better get it now, you're going to get it later. Hello? They say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Just hang in there, honey. Your day's coming. Things are going to happen. When you had a hit, fall flat on your face and cry out to the only help that you know to cry out to. That's why I like what the scripture says, that we can come boldly into his presence. And we can come into his presence. We can bring our care and we can cast it upon him. Why? Because he first careth for you, for us. Amen. What about David? A man after God's own heart. David went up. He should have been out of battle, but he was looking up in his castle. And David got a lazy streak. He wanted to lay down. So he gets up and goes on top of the castle and looks down. And he sees this woman taking a bath. Hello. And you know the rest of the story. He called her. He had a relationship with her. Had her old man killed. But guess what? God was still in pursuit of him. See, you don't. What about Moses? Moses, God lit a burning bush to get his attention. What I'm telling you is God is waiting for you to make a decision. I'm so glad he's not like me. See, I'm too fat and overweight and old. I get tired. Whew. Jeremiah, you got to stop, buddy. I love you, but we got to stop for a minute. That is tired. Well, that's your son. Yeah, I'm 47. He's 3. Hello? Is this all right or am I boring you? See, that's... I said, why? Every time you preach, you say something about your son. I can't help it. I'm just in the moment. It's just where I'm at. I can't help God use this. He said, I tell you, the foolish things of the wise to confound. Foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. See, sometimes you got to, like Apostle says, you got to sometimes just be foolish for God. Do what he says do. Be in pursuit of him. More than that, just be pursuing him. See, too many times people, they seek him from their bed of comfort. Because I like what the scripture said. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Has anybody ever sought the Lord on your bed? And the next thing you know, you have drool rolling down, you sleeping. Oh, help me, Lord. That old enemy, he just rocks you on to sleep. No, it ain't the enemy. It's God's presence, his peace. See, some people can't lay their head down at night because they don't know what tomorrow holds. But guess what? If you're born again, I know who holds your tomorrow. And I'm not saying things are going to get great and going to be better before they get worse. Sometimes it's an opposite effect. But when you trust in the Lord and you lean not to your own understanding, sometimes we try to figure God out. And I want to tell you something about God. God will not do it the way you think he should, the way you thought he would. Because sometimes God will turn a 360-degree turn on you. But when you're chasing him, it don't matter if he goes high, if he goes low. It don't matter if he stops and he starts crawling, you right behind him. Why? Because you're pursuing him. You're chasing him. You're running after him. See, some people just want to stay in their comfort zone than to experience God on a higher level. See, sometimes in your discomfort, Jesus will bring his comfort. How you know? 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, and I got to hurry. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation. All our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Philippians 3:7-10, but what things that were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. But I like what the NIV version says. Bear with me. Philippians 3:7-10. But whatsoever was to my profit, I now consider myself lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And for those for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and become like him in his death. What was Paul saying? Paul said, in all my accolades, all my awards, all the things that have been granted to me, I have received and I count them as dung. Dung, what is that? It's feces. For lack of a better word, that's crap. And you fill in the blank. That I may have Christ. See, nothing compares to having Christ. Nothing compares to being in his presence. So you can't get this at a nightclub. You can't get this when everything at the funeral home, when everything going bad. But let me tell you what you can do. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what state you're in. When you call on him, sometimes it ain't even with your mouth, it's with your heart. You cry out to him. Say, God, I got to have you today. Has anybody ever done that besides me? I got to have you today. I got to have your direction in my life. I got to have, why? Because I'm pursuing you. It's all about you, Lord. It's not about things, about stuff. It's not even about prestige. It's nothing more than pursuing Christ first in my life. I asked you a question. Are you in pursuit of Jesus? Or are you pursued by him? Pursuit, an effort to secure or to attain. Are pursued. That means you follow in order to overtake, capture, or chase. Some people only want to make sure they're saved. My, are they missing it? Some people are in pursuit of their own agendas, their own thing. But I'm in pursuit of him. I'm pursuing him. How about you this morning? Let me encourage you with this. Come on, musicians. To pursue Jesus. Well, I have, and everything still goes wrong. Just keep running after him. Because he hasn't given up on you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He knows where you are. I'm so glad God knows my address. No matter how many times I've changed it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I ask you a question. Is he your Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider? Is he your Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer? Is he your peace? Is he the Lord that fights your battle? Is he your victory? Because you have victory. The only way you don't have victory is you surrender it. Ooh, I don't know who that's for. But I have that old song, I have victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. I don't have it. Yeah, you do. Because victory ain't in stuff. It's in a person. As Pastor Martin already alluded to this morning. It's in Jesus. And as we celebrate this July 4th, and as every firework goes off, remember those that have paid the ultimate price. I can remember some many years ago when we was in youth ministry. We had a young man by the name of Seth. Seth Sharp. Seth was kind of a unique guy. But I believe Seth received Jesus. And as Seth grew out of, graduated from high school, he went and fought in Afghanistan in the war. But unfortunately, one day, his mom and daddy got a knock at the door. He didn't make it home. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he was killed in friendly fire. A young man gone, but he gave the ultimate sacrifice. But can I tell you that one man came over 2,000 years ago, and he looked at the Father, and he said, Father, send me, I'll go. Because see, there need to be an atonement, not just a cover, but there need to be something that would wash us white as snow. And his name is Jesus, and he came. He died, and he rose again. Why? So we could have that freedom today. See, I got a freedom today. Even though he's in pursuit of me. And many years ago, 22 years ago, he caught me. I surrendered. And ever since, I've been trying to run after him. And I wish to God I could tell you the truth and tell you that it's been grand and glorious. Sometimes it's been hell on earth. And y'all excuse me. Sometimes it's been a battle. Sometimes it's been a fight. But one thing I do, I just keep on pursuing. Keep on chasing. Keep on. Pastor, you doing being redundant this morning. I know. I can't get it out of my spirit. Somebody ain't listening. You ain't getting it in your spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to hear what he's trying to tell you. Ever since then, I've been running after him. And sometimes I've fallen flat on my face. And miss God. Sometimes I've done things and I know I shouldn't have. Like I bought a motorcycle when I knew I shouldn't have. I bought it one day and the very next day was in a wreck. 3 days in a hospital. Road rash from the tips of my fingers all the way down my body. So what are you saying? I'm not telling you it was God's fault. I'm telling you it was Max's fault. Because I got ahead. But guess what? The enemy tried to kill me. But God had a plan. Woo! God's got a plan for you. The enemy's been trying to kill you, but God is still not giving up on you. See, what did the Lord say? He said, you consider my servant Job? Yeah, I have. But you got a hedge about him. But if you let that hedge about, take him out. That's paraphrasing. But guess what? It didn't work. And if it didn't work for Job, guess what? It won't work for you. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No matter what obstacle I have to face tomorrow, I got an assurance. I got a confidence in this one thing, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. Sometimes I have to say, ouch. Lord, that hurts. But I'm willing to be made willing to get rid of this old flesh and to say, yes, Lord, because I'm chasing after you. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. I believe I've done what I was supposed to do today. Thank you, Lord. Come on, ministry team. There may be somebody here today who needs prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here today. Say, that's me, preacher. You've been preaching to me. I didn't come to land bless you today. That has not been my heart. I never want to do that. Because I'm sort of like Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. I was. But I want to come encourage you. Chase after him. Keep running. How do you do that, preacher? You told me to run, but you didn't tell me how. Have that intimacy with him. Spend time with him in prayer. Get in his word and let the word get in you. Let God reveal to you what he desires to do in and through you. So you're not saved and on your way to heaven just to be going. There's a work for all of us to do. All. Amen. Father, I've done the best of my ability to obey you today. Now, Father, I pray for every heart and life that's here. I pray that this word would just penetrate deep, that we would run and chase after you because you're pursuing us, God. But we want to pursue you because you're long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. And all you said, all we got to do is believe that you came, died, and rose again, that we shall be saved. And you said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you and thy house. So today we stand in the gap, not only for individuals, but for households, that you would bring them in, Lord. Minister to every individual that's in this place, from the youngest to the oldest, for whatever need they may have, in Jesus' name. Amen. How about it? You need prayer today? If you don't mind, how about gently just lay your hand on somebody's shoulder around you, the person next to you, and begin to pray for them. Pray the Lord will stir them. Maybe they're, thank you, Lord. Somebody here, you've been in that chase. You've been running after him and you done got weary. But he said, don't be weary in well doing. Don't be weary in well doing. Because in due season, hallelujah. You'll run. You won't grow weary. You'll mount up with wings of eagle. You're going to soar. God's going to bring that refreshing to you. Father, do it right now by your spirit. Bring that refreshing, God. Bring that renewal today, God. Lord, if they got pain in their body, I curse it right now. And I declare that they healed and whole. By His stripes, we were healed. We declare that right now, God. Soul, spirit, mind, and body. And we thank You for it right now. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.